Yesterday was the 43rd anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination. Dr. King was gunned down as he stood on a motel balcony in Memphis, Tennessee. The famed civil rights leader was in Memphis that day to show his support for a strike by city sanitation workers. Union members and their allies decided to use the anniversary of Dr. King's death as a day to show solidarity with public sector workers in Wisconsin. Recently passed legislation there deprives state workers of most collective bargaining rights. Yesterday, hundreds of solidarity rallies took place around the U.S., many with the title, "We Are One." What did yesterday's protests accomplish, and what else must labor do to stave off attacks? We'll put these questions to a well-known Bay Area labor leader. Joining us now in the KPFA studio is Clarence Thomas. He's a former secretary-treasurer of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local 10. He's still a member of Local 10's executive board. Welcome to the Morning Mix, Clarence.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So first, tell our listeners how you spent your time yesterday.
Well, yesterday was a wonderful day for labor. I would just like to, first of all, acknowledge the tremendous work, courage, militant democratic action. I would describe it as a voluntary rank-and-file action, an organized act of resistance of International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 10 members, with the support of ILW Local 34 and Local 91. Yesterday, our members voluntarily withheld their labor. They took the day off to stand in solidarity with the public sector workers in Wisconsin and other states. I think there's some 16 states that have pending anti-union, more specifically, I guess you could say union busting legislation going after collective bargaining. And it's important to note that in 1967, September 21st, 1967 to be exact, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Visited ILW Local 10. The occasion was the kickoff to a seven-city fundraiser headed by Harry Belafonte and Joan Baez. He spoke at Local 10 and had a press conference, and he was made an honorary member. So there is something rather personal about the connection with Dr. King and the fact that when he was in Memphis, he was supporting the right for the sanitation workers to have collective bargaining. Yesterday was a great day for labor, but I would like to talk about something specific that happened in Oakland, where Oakland teachers and others shut down Wells Fargo Bank, I believe, for 3 hours around the whole question of foreclosures. And I believe that these kinds of actions, referring to Local 10 and the actions of the teachers here in the Bay Area and others, are the kind of actions that labor needs to take. Rallies and marches are fine, and they are important. But in terms of us being able to get the pendulum to swing the other way, we need to up the ante, and other unions need to take the actions of the longshore unions yesterday, as we did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And Local 10, of course, is the local that serves Oakland Harbor, and no containers were moved in and out yesterday?
Ports of Oakland and the ports of San Francisco, that is correct.
Local 10 covers both sides of the bay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to underscore how labor's interest is not synonymous with the Democratic Party. And I believe that that's part of the crisis that we in the labor movement face. If we look at our history, going back to the struggle for the eight-hour workday, we were able to achieve that not by legislative action, but by strikes, rallies, marches, taking action at the point of production. Because the only way that labor can exercise its muscle is by withholding its labor. It's the only way that we can gain the attention of big capital. Anything else less than that puts us in a situation where we are at the beck and call of the Democratic Party, and their interest is not the same as Labor's.
Well, I just got to point out that Barack Obama announced that he's running again, to no one's surprise. And in the last elections, the unions, labor unions, have been very important. The three major unions spent over $171 million in the 2010 election, an estimated $25 million equivalent value of volunteer activity, getting out the vote, door-to-door campaigning, poll watching. So unions have been powerful in getting Democrats elected in the past and so on. And are you suggesting that we should withhold, the labor movement should withhold some of that support for the Democratic Party or put it somewhere else? What do you think about this money-labor exchange?
Well, first of all, let's deal with the point of what has labor gotten from the tremendous amount of money and work that it has done on the part of electing Democrats. Let's take the issue of the Employee Free Choice Act, which gives unions the right to organize with less interference and repercussions from employers. That was something that was not acted upon by the Democratic Party, and that was one of labor's major issues. Let's look at the question of the Obama health, Obamacare. He immediately took the question of the public option off the table. The answer to our health care problems, in my opinion, is that we need universal health care in this country, from the cradle to the grave. That was taken off the table. Let's look at the question of the tax cuts for the rich and the corporations. This has been supported by Democrats and Republicans. We have not seen a bailout of the working class. There are pending attacks against Social Security. So I think that we, as members of the trade union movement, must begin to look at alternatives. With respect to supporting the Democratic Party, if there are candidates that are going to be accountable to the agenda of the working class, they should be supported. And at the same time, too, their feet should be held to the fire for accountability. But let's make no mistake about it. We have a system in this country where the corporations control the Democrat and Republican Party, and all you have to do is to talk to members of both parties, and they will tell you how important it is to raise money. Labor cannot compete with the Koch brothers and corporate interests when it comes to raising money. And I think that when you look at the history of the Democratic Party as it relates to Bill Clinton and his decision to go after corporate money, telling the labor movement, you have no other place to go. Therefore, you must follow us, because otherwise you'll have to support the Republicans. This kind agenda has to be changed. So there's no question about it. Labor needs to find candidates that are going to be progressive, that are going to represent the interests of the working class. Otherwise, we're going to continue down this road.
It's 8:30 in the morning. This is KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. The program is The Morning Mix. I'm Anthony Fest with Adrian Lavi, and our guest is Clarence Thomas with Local 10 of the ILWU. Clarence, let's go back to yesterday's actions for a moment, and let me pose a question about the vocabulary that was used. Some of the events were titled, We Are One, and that's probably something that no one would find objectionable. Some of the other events were labeled as March for the Middle Class, which, of course, is a term that excludes many people and doesn't promote labor solidarity. And it seemed especially out of place when the rallies were timed to invoke Dr. King's legacy. So what are your thoughts on that?
Let me talk about this issue of the middle class. What really are they talking about? Because in my opinion, if you are looking at the upper class as being the Warren Buffetts and the other billionaires of the world, are we then saying that the threshold for the middle class is $250,000 or more, or $500,000? I mean, let's be realistic. This talk about the middle class is very, very confusing. And I think that it relates to the fact that in this country, there has been a deliberate attempt to revise history for working people. The fact of the matter is that International Workers' Day started here in this country around the question of the eight-hour workday. Working people who work for a living, I don't care how much money them, if they work for a living and they are workers, the fact that this talk of middle class, it confuses people, because what's going on right now is that the Republicans and Democrats are both structured around the question of having two classes, the rich and the poor, because we, the working class, are being told that the budget needs to be balanced on our backs. Where's the bailout for the working class? It is confusing. I personally think that we need to get away from using that term, because we're workers, and there is a working class in this country, but people don't want folks to see themselves in that light. And I'm going to add another thing to this. It's become somewhat of a code word, because what it suggests when you talk about the middle class is that it separates black workers from white workers. Because what it says is that if you are middle class, then that suggests that you are white. If you see yourself as being a worker, it doesn't make any difference if you're black or white. And let me draw on something that happened in our own union. In 1934, when we had the great West Coast Maritime Strike, Harry Bridges and others in the ILA at that time, they were part of the strike committee, they understood that if black workers were to continue to cross the picket line, they would not be able to win that strike. And because of racism and discrimination, one of the few ways that blacks could work on the waterfront was by crossing the picket line during the labor strike. Bridges went to black churches and appealed to the black community that if they were to support the strike, then he would see to it that black people would be able to come into the union. So he understood the link between black workers and white workers. And that was one of the reasons for us being able to overcome the shipping owners during 1934. So we need to, I think, dismiss with this talk about the middle class. Let's talk about the working class, because that's who we are.
So as we conclude with you, Clarence Thomas, where it's now the day after these hundreds of solidarity rallies, what should be happening now, this week, next month?
Well, we should continue with this no business as usual. Yesterday was a start. We can, the workers, be they organized or not, in conjunction with social justice activists, environmentalists, we can conduct actions anytime we dare to. It's just a question of us coming together and organizing and having strategic actions. So I would like to see more unions being involved with taking action at the point of production. In other words, taking action where they work. And so it has to be ongoing, and it has to be coordinated. So that's the direction that we need to take. I'd also like to just mention something else that I found quite ironic yesterday. Now, the action that Local 10 took was unprecedented, but yet there were no Local 10 speakers at the rally in Oakland and the rally in San Francisco. We were acknowledged, but one would have thought that we would have been afforded the opportunity to speak, in so much as ILWU has been responsible for really ushering in the idea of having a hiring hall on the West Coast and collective bargaining. So I thought that that was I was very, very concerned about that slight. And I really think that one of the reasons why that happened is because the Democratic Party is not in favor of workers taking independent action. They are more concerned with, if you look at the situation in Wisconsin, they wanted workers to get involved in recalling those Republicans that pushed through this anti-collective bargaining. Listen, we need to act in our own interests. Workers need to organize, mobilize in their own name. And before we close, I hope I have a chance to just mention that on Sunday, April the 10th in San Francisco, there's going to be a rally against the wars against working people at home and abroad. Bring the troops home now. Sunday, April 10th, we'll assemble at Dolores Park at 11 a.m. with a noon rally and march at 1:30 p.m. I would have been in big trouble if I did not announce that.
Thank you very much, Clarence Thomas with Local 10 of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union.
Thank you for having me.